In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I am your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Joe, how are you today, sir?
John, I woke up in Denver this morning, and boy, are you guys screwed up.
Oh, you think? Yeah, we are.
I watched the local, I was down in the Texas oil fields for the past 2 days, and it was cheaper and faster to come through Denver if you want to go to Midland, Odessa, than to try to get there from Newark. So I flew into Denver Monday. We went down, came back late last night, and woke up in Denver. And anyway, watching the news, I guess you guys going total lockdown?
We're going to go red tomorrow, which is no indoor dining and 10% in gyms and some other things along those lines. It's not necessarily a total lockdown, but it might as well be.
Well, Polis and the governor of New Jersey are having a race. It's like, hold my beer, watch this, because the governor of New Jersey is doing exactly the same thing, killing all the restaurants, killing the gyms, killing the bars.
And we've proven already, Joe, and you and I have talked about this many times, that there's no positive outcome of this. There's only negative outcome.
No, if the masks worked, and New Jersey's been under a mandatory mask order for 4 months, if masks worked, we wouldn't be seeing the spikes that we're seeing.
Right.
So it makes no difference. So you can't stop. A virus is going to do what a virus is going to do, and it's like, you know, shoveling, you know, trying to shovel sand against the ocean. It just makes no sense. Let me give you the update from New Jersey, by the way.
Let's hear it.
So first of all, in Colorado, like most states, you have what's called a castle doctrine. Somebody's in your house at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You can shoot him. In New Jersey, they have what's called a duty to retreat. If somebody, you come face to face with somebody in your house at 2 a.m, you can't shoot them. You have an obligation to go run and hide, lock yourself in the bathroom.
So a duty to run.
A duty to retreat.
Okay.
And only as a last resort, you have to demonstrate you exhausted every possible avenue of escape, can you then shoot somebody in your house after he breaks down your bathroom door.
Unreal.
You cannot get a concealed carry permit. You cannot have a gun that holds more than 10 rounds in the magazine. If you want to go to the shooting range, you have to keep your gun and ammunition in separate locked boxes. You can't have the gun and ammunition together in the same car. It's just crazy. Property tax is insane. It's a nanny state to the nth degree. It's just absolutely insane.
Yeah, and if we're not careful, that's where we're headed, Joe.
That's exactly where you're headed, John.
Yeah. Yep, unfortunately.
So,
Joe, it's a joy. I got a guest coming on. It's always a joy having you, sir. Thanks for checking in and continue to do so, please.
I will, John. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bye-bye. Man. I really appreciate it. Love hearing from Joe. Richard Battle joining us now. Richard, how are you, sir?
John, I'm doing very well, and I'm glad I'm not living in New Jersey right now.
Well, I tell you, Joe's a great listener. Was in Colorado for a long, long time. Went to New Jersey because of some family things going on, and really appreciate Joe and just love him dearly and been a great listener over the years. Richard, I'm with you. B, as Joe said, we in Colorado, unfortunately, Richard, are headed in that same direction. And I mean that with all sincerity as a native of Colorado, that, yeah, that's the direction we're headed here, unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately, we're all headed in that direction faster than any of us want to go. And fortunately for us in Texas, we're not as bad off as other states are at this point, but these politicians who have given us these edicts all year long, unless their power is stopped at some point, even when COVID is over, they will feel so emboldened to dictate rules.
Yep.
at any opportunity to restrict individual freedom.
Yep. No, you are exactly right. And by the way, everybody, Richard Battle, author of many, many books, by the way, the latest one being Navigating Life's Journey. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But Richard, let's talk about, and I know it's out there. It's still being talked about. I've talked about it a lot since the election. We'll continue to until we really have a final, quote unquote, winner of this election. But the media is pushing to get this thing concluded when, in fact, Richard, there's no conclusion yet.
Well, I think that's absolutely correct. The media is falling all over themselves to make people feel like it's over, and I think some people feel that way. I think that the former vice president's trying to push that as well. But even the 2000 election wasn't the longest period of time that our country went through to decide a presidential election, because in 1876, it took 115 days to decide the election. So we have precedent, we have order, we have a process given to us by the founders to resolve this issue.
But Richard, you would hear from the majority of people, including some folks even on the right, that we've never encountered anything like this ever since the inception of our country. But you just gave an example where in 1876, some hundred years after the formation of this country, we went 115 days. So the reality is some 250 or whatever it is, 220 years later, we could do the same thing again. Big deal.
Absolutely. And I've heard conservative people on television talk like there's nothing happened like this before. People who I thought had credibility before, but who now I believe just want this to be over with so that they can get back in the swamp and feed at the trough.
I tend to agree with you. Not tend to. You're exactly right, Richard. That's exactly what a lot of these folks are wanting to do. And I don't get it. I mean, these are people. Everybody needs to realize this. We in the United States of America have a very unique government. In fact, it's the first time in history, Richard, that this has ever happened, that anything like this has ever been done, where we, the people, control what goes on in government. But I think, Richard, as time goes by, not just because of the influence of politicians, but because of the influence of media, we have forgotten that we, the people, run this country. Politicians do not. And the reality is that we need a constant reminder that this is a different form of government than anywhere else in the entire world.
Well, you're totally correct. And for those of us that have been around a few years, I've never seen nor contemplated the level of propaganda from the media. We've always had two sides of the media and the press. It seems like now it's probably 95% to 5% just out and out propaganda for one message.
You are exactly right. And I also am one, and we have a podcast we do weekly, Richard, and it'll play tonight. And one of the things we talked about today is, the Dominion fiasco that's going on and what's happened there. And I want to talk a little bit about that with you. I, for one, am a fan of privatizing as many things as we can inside of government, because we all know the private sector can do things better than the government, with two exceptions. These are the exceptions that I have. I really don't want a private organization running our military, Richard, because I think we can have corrupt things happen there that we don't want to have happen. It's bad enough having the government run it. We don't need a private organization being corrupt in that area. Number two, our elections. I really don't want private companies, i.e., Dominion voting, running our voting machines and running what we have as far as elections across the country, Richard. Because right now, what we've seen happen is we have a private company running about half of the states in the country, and right now we've got a gigantic mess.
Well, that is true, and I agree with you with one exception, and that is whether we have elections run by government only or some privatization, the checks and balances are critical.
Agree.
And both sides have to be involved with the process from start to finish.
Yeah, no, and Richard, I will agree with that wholeheartedly, because that's not to say that the federal government or state government can't run things and have issues as well. But in this particular case, I looked up today, and I didn't know this until going into the podcast this morning, Richard. Dominion Voting Systems owns 12 patents when it comes to how voting is done. So they own patents on everything from how the ballot would actually look, be interpreted, some of the fonts even. I mean, these guys have got patents across the board and really are trying to, if you would, corner the market on how things are run voting-wise in this country. And I didn't read through every single one of those to see what sort of anomalies might be there and how some of those might even apply to what's going on today. But let's just say this. We have given a private organization in this country a very large platform. Not saying they changed the outcome, Richard. Time will tell. But I'm here to tell you, the temptation for a private company to actually change the election in this particular case, it's highly there.
Well, absolutely. And again, temptations there, private or public, because I think the forces that were working to alter this election, whether we would have had government or private companies running it, I think they would still have been active. It's the checks and balances to me that make the difference. And I've told people that 1948, Lyndon Johnson stole a Senate
yep.
seat. He was an amateur. John F. Kennedy getting the presidency out of Chicago in 1960, they were amateurs. These people are Hall of Fame, all-pro professionals.
Agree.
In how they manipulated the system.
Agree. I think what you just said is well said, by the way. And we're going to find out more. You know, when will we find out? All I'm going to say along those lines, folks that are listening, is, you know, give it some time. I think some of these things will work their way out, and you're going to hear different things happening. All I'm going to say is this: be careful of the conspiracies. There's a lot of them out there. Some of the things can be proven. Some of the things cannot be proven. You know, there were stories running around, Richard, where, you know, the army went to Germany and retrieved a server and some things along those lines. None of that have I been able to prove. I do think there's servers all over the country and all over the world, probably. Where are they and who actually has their hands on them? Those things I do not have the answers to, but you and I both know that all of these things are run by servers someplace. And I'm here to tell you right now, I'm guessing, Richard, that there are people that are probably on the Trump battlefield right now trying to figure out where and how to get their hands on those things and try to determine if there is any foul play.
You're totally correct, and there have been rumors on both sides. And the good thing is this process is moving forward. I'm glad for that. I'm glad we have people like Sidney.
Agreed.
Think of her name.
Sidney Powell.
Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and others looking
That's
at
right.
it. It will come out. I'm glad that President Trump is being more low-key during this process.
Agreed.
Because we need to allow time
Agree.
And patience to play out.
I agree. One of the questions that came up today in our podcast is, you know, why haven't they driven this thing forward? And, you know, why aren't we talking about this now? And why haven't they actually, you know, made this more public? And, you know, my answer back, you know, Richard, would be much like your name. This is a battle. And there are times in battle where we let the enemy know certain things, and there's times in battle we don't let the enemy know anything. And I think the latter is true right now, where they're trying to protect as much of this from the enemy knowing what's going on so they can preserve evidence, is my guess.
Absolutely, because the more they put out in public, the more it will be defended before it goes to court.
That's right. And so in turn, I think, folks, that's why you're seeing a lot of this you know, not being publicized. On the same token, Richard, I think this is where we as conservatives and you know, people of faith also need to be really careful that we do not spread, you know, false rumors and talk about things that we cannot prove when it comes to things going on in the election. You know, there was a big deal running around about, you know, RFID chips and watermarks on ballots. And frankly, all of that was false, Richard. None of that existed. And those are the sorts of things that I'm talking about when we, you know, we as Christians and conservatives especially, we need to be really careful in the things that we're talking about and what we spread around, because when it turns out they're not true, we look really dumb.
Yes, I agree. And the facts are the election's not concluded. There have been no electors awarded. The process is going forward.
Mm-hmm.
We can sit back. We can go out and we can demonstrate if we want to. We can donate money. But otherwise, we need to wait and let's see what's going to happen.
Yeah, and along those lines, Richard, Georgia, where we've got Senate races that will happen in January, there's a lot. Actually, the reality is, not taking anything away from the presidency, Richard, but that particular state and the races that will go on there and what will happen in January will most likely have a more either positive effect upon the country or negative effect on the country, depending upon whether or not the Republicans hold Senate seats there.
Well, I agree, and the one thing that no one is talking about, and I'm very curious about, is with all these newly found ballots in Georgia and the recount, is what effect that might have on the Purdue race on the one Senate. And the media and the politicians don't want that race to be concluded because they're fundraising off of it. And as you well know, there's commissions being earned mm-hmm. by political advisors mm-hmm. and other people. But in my mind, that race could be concluded with the recount and these found ballots. I would think that'd be possible.
Oh, that, and you know what? You brought up something, and you're right. Nobody's talking about that. That is fantastic. I'm glad you mentioned that because you're very right in what you're saying. And as they go through, we may actually not have some of those runoffs in January like we first thought. That's a great point, Richard. In fact, as a matter of fact, I hope that you're correct. And the reason why I say that, folks, that everybody listening, including those of you that are on the left, frankly, Richard, everyone in the planet should want the Republicans to control the Senate. And I mean that sincerely, because if they control the Senate, the Democrats control the House, we get less done. And I know that sounds odd to a lot of people listening, but Richard, the reality is the less that gets done in Washington, the better off we and the whole world are.
That is absolutely the truth. And as Thomas Jefferson said, a government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have.
Mm-hmm.
And we need checks and balances and restrictions on power at all levels.
Richard, talk for a moment about your book. I know Navigating Life's Journey, it's actually sitting on my desk. I'll take it with me when I take some time off here in the not-too-distant future. I'm looking forward to reading it. But talk about that.
Thanks, John. It's my seventh book. All are based on personal growth, trying to inform, encourage, inspire, and entertain the readers with nuggets of proven principles. There's 40 proven principles in this book. There's 75 motivational quotes. There's 250 examples of people, places, and events that hopefully will inspire people to pursue their dreams, encourage them if they're going through a rough time, entertain them with some funny anecdotes, and provide them information that I hope each member of a family will find nuggets in there that they'll enjoy.
That's awesome. How do they get the book, Richard?
They can go to Amazon or any place they can buy books. If they go to Amazon, it's Richard V. Battle. They can find all of my works. This book will be in paper, Kindle, and audio versions, and richardbattle.com. If anyone would like to reach out to me, I'm happy to communicate with them.
Great. Richard, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again here in the not-too-distant future. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and I really appreciate just you being on with us weekly and getting to know you better. It's been a joy, sir.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, and enjoy your vacation, and we'll look forward to speaking with you.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it very much. Right. And, yep, that is Richard Battle, and again, Navigating Life's Journey. Richard's going to keep joining us weekly, and just a great guy. I've really enjoyed emailing Richard off air. We're really just developing a great relationship, and I've really gotten to know him more and more each week, and it's just been a joy. So I appreciate that very much. Mighty Hand Construction is next, folks. They want to help you out with all of your expansion needs. They're in Northern Colorado, anything you need, whether it's a remodel for the bathroom, kitchen, basement refinish, an addition, whatever it happens to be, they're there for you. Find them at klzradio.com or 970-844-9191.
You will get burned looking for the cheapest option. Micah Applegate and his team at Mighty Hand Construction find that a lot of homeowners don't understand the true value of a reliable contractor. Suppose you try to manage your own remodeling project and the guy working on your basement botches the job. Now it's up to you to make him fix it or find someone else to correct his mistakes. You call company after company asking for estimates and no one will call you back. Then once they finally do get back to you, they expect you to do most of the work yourself, including coming up with the actual construction plans. It's like they don't want your money. As a local, full-service construction company in Northern Colorado, Mighty Hand operates character first, overseeing your entire project from beginning to end. Make sure you hire a contractor who will handle the process for you. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage. He'll help you with how to get those expansions and remodels done. And nothing else, ask about the asset manager loan while you're at it. 720-895-0500. Again, Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Olivia Perez-Cubas will be joining us here in a little bit, and I apologize. This will be a short segment. I went a little long with Richard because we had Joe call in, which, no offense, Joe, I appreciate you calling in, and I love it, and we just move some things around. We have the freedom to do so, and I always enjoy hearing from Joe, especially now that he's on the East Coast and finding out what's going on there. So speaking of other states, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, who is essentially a rhino, he's not necessarily a true conservative by any means, he's issuing a curfew that will start tomorrow in Ohio that runs from 10 to 5, 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. for 21 days. I guess COVID is really smart and knows that it, you know, spreads faster from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. He's also asking for everyone to do one thing that would reduce their contact with one another every day. Folks, I'm going to continue to say this probably until I go to the grave. We have and are still handling COVID, in my opinion. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I'm a businessman, and I can look at the numbers and read the data. We are still, to this day, handling this thing completely backwards of how we should be handling it. Every time you bring up Sweden with somebody that's on that side of the fence, they have no answers because Sweden has handled this completely different than everyone else. The other thing I will continue to say, and we'll talk more about it through the program, is, and I asked some folks where this data is, or I had some folks ask me where I get my data on COVID. It's easy. It's right on the state's website. You can also Google it. You can Google Colorado COVID. It'll give you the daily stats as to how many new infections we've had reported and how many deaths we've had reported. I watch the death line more than I watch the stat line on new infections. Why? I'll just keep saying it, folks. I don't care about new infections. So yesterday, folks, we had 21 deaths. The day before, we had 21, 31, 20, 13, 29. I mean, it's ranging between 12 and 30. Keep in mind, we have a population of 5.7 million people in Colorado. I don't want anyone to die. Please, no one think for a second I'm saying that I don't care and I'm callous and I don't care if anyone dies. I do. I care about people that die of any cause. I talked about this yesterday. Car accidents, natural death, heart attack, heart failure, diabetes, Alzheimer's, diabetes. I can go down the list of things that people, you know, cancer. Cancer being one of the most leading, you know, that and heart failure, heart conditions being one of the most leading causes of death in our country. Yes, my heart always, I've lost numerous friends to cancer. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to watch somebody on their deathbed. It's not fun. I get that. But folks, 12 people, 20 people, 30 people out of 5.7 million, and we're going to ruin other people's lives with shutdowns and putting people out of work and not letting them run their businesses and not letting waitresses and waiters collect tips and have income and hours and all the other things that go into making an economy function. We're not helping ourselves with shutdowns. Not at all, folks. We're actually killing ourselves. We're literally killing ourselves with shutdowns. We're not helping ourselves. And yet we continue to make the same, in my opinion, mistakes with shutdowns over and over and over and over again. We need to learn how to live with COVID, stay as protected as we can, keep your immune system up, as we talked about in the 3 o'clock hour, and live with it, knowing that some are going to get it, just like a cold, just like influenza, just like pneumonia, just like bronchitis, just like, I go down the list, folks. Things happen. As a car guy, I will keep saving. I'll keep saying, if we really want to save lives, and that's really our true goal here, we would shut down all transportation. Because we die transporting people around the country. They die in private plane crashes. They die in train crashes. They die in car crashes. They die in motorcycle crashes. They die in marine and boat crashes. I mean, go down the list, folks. Anytime we transport someone from one point to another, people die. That's what happens in a free society, by the way. And it's something that we do not want to take away, and we want to continue to have that. Toby in Wheatland, let's talk to you real quick before we go to break. Toby, welcome.
Okay, I'll keep this short and sweet. How many abortions did they do today? I want to know that every damn day.
Yeah, well said. That's another great statistic, Toby. We claim that we care about lives, but do we?
That's right.
I mean, that's my question. I mean, and I know it's a rhetorical question, but, you know, do we really care about lives? If we did, Toby, you'd be able to answer that. You know, the Democrats, the left, the people that want the shutdowns would be able to answer your question. The reality is they can't and they won't.
Yeah, but the Democrats would say, oh, it's all for the children.
And they're all, of course, they are very selfish, and that's really not the case. It's a bunch of nonsense. That's exactly right. Toby, well said. Thank you very much. But by the way, great, great cap off to what I just said there. Purify Chevrolet's up next, folks, and they would love to help you out with all of your vehicle purchase needs and can keep your GM vehicle running as well. They've got a great service department on top of that. If you want to find out more, go to purifychevrolet.com. You can also call them directly at 303-659-8311.
My first name is Steve, and I began going to Purifoy in 1993. And even though I live 45 minutes away, I've never gone to another dealership. And I've bought 5 cars from them over the years, all Corvettes. My overall impression has always been the same, and that is that they're a small-town dealership. They're a dealership in a small town, but they're really as professional and courteous and as concerned with their customer satisfaction as any dealership or any business I've ever been to before. Just about everybody that you run into there just makes you feel like family. And why would you not want to deal with somebody like that? We've all been to places where you walk in the door and you realize that whoever it is you're talking to really doesn't care. You're just somebody they want to get out before 5 o'clock so they can go home. And in this day and age of technology and, you know, all the stuff that we've got going on that says you've got to get people out the door to make money, that's just a breath of fresh, it's a hurricane of fresh air to go up and deal with Raleigh and his staff. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
Hi, I'm Raleigh Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
And Shannon Kitchens is next, folks. And if you want a place in your home that's literally the centerpiece where you can come in, you can enjoy it, it'll function properly, you can fix the meals you want, and really just have a gathering place where people hang out. That's how it works at my house. That's how it should work at yours. It probably already does. Just make your kitchen function accordingly. Go to klzradio.com or 303-376-7588.
The Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center feels like home, only better. The design process at Enchanted Kitchens always begins in their award-winning showroom because their team believes you need to see, touch, and feel your new kitchen ahead of time. Built to look like a nicer version of your own home with an open floor plan, the Experience Center allows you to visualize a kitchen that works. Standing inside a true-to-life example of a functional kitchen, you can start to imagine how much more you'll enjoy your new space, solidifying your vision for your home. Then, the Enchanted Kitchens design team will bring samples into your home to help truly picture your new kitchen and discuss the design based on your budget and style. Visit the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center and feel at home, only better. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/kitchens and schedule a free design consultation at the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So I did do some checking there during the break to answer Toby's question. In Colorado in 2017, we did about 12,390 abortions. In 2018, it was down to about 8,500. And in 2019, it was up to 9,000. And two. So we are averaging about 10,000 or so abortions a year. Keep in mind, COVID in Colorado to this point, over 8 months, has killed about 2,600. Charlie made a great point, by the way, that 10,000 were wanted deaths. COVID, of course, is unwanted. The reality being, though, to Toby's point, if the left really cared about lives and really cared about people, we would have 10,000 more people living in Colorado because they didn't have abortions. Babies weren't aborted. So there's your answer, Toby, and I appreciate you actually adding that to the conversation. I mean that sincerely. I really do. Olivia Perez-Cubas is with us now, Winning for Women. You guys are doing well, Olivia. In fact, a lot of what's happened with you guys has made even mainstream media news, talking about sort of the red wave of non-white men that have won elections this year.
Absolutely. We're doing a lot of winning, which is nice for a change. Republican women have done an incredible job this cycle, particularly in the House. We've flipped so far 11 or 12 seats, but 9 of those seats have been by women. And I think really proof that when Republicans invest in women, Republicans win elections. So we hope to just keep building off our gains and keep going for future cycles.
The other thing that I think that shows, and Andy and I were talking a little bit about this yesterday, knowing you were coming on today, so this is perfect timing. The other thing that I think you guys have been able to do, and I think this is something that can be learned across the country, you're delivering, and I hate to call it this, but it's a product. You guys are delivering a product to an audience that is willing and wanting to have said product enough that they will vote that product into office. And what I mean by that is people want people that can relate to them and where they're at. And let me explain, and I think you know where I'm going with this. But Olivia, when a suburban housewife who votes can see that somebody else like her is running for office and will relate to her in that same way, that garners votes, and in a lot of cases, enough to win elections.
Absolutely. I think that's a big part of it. And actually, one of the things that we've seen in recent polling is that 3 out of 4 Republicans believe that having more female candidates actually helps win over more female voters. And I, to your point, exactly. I think when people see a little bit of themselves in a candidate, they know that their interests and their concerns are going to have representation in Congress. That's so important. And part of helping the Republican Party kind of close that gender gap and make inroads with women voters is in large part electing more women.
Right.
They kind of go hand in hand, which is what we've seen, what we've believed, and what now data is also showing, which is huge.
And I hope is really even a trend for the future, Olivia. And because I am one, and I've always said this, I'm an employer, have been since I was 22 years of age. So I think I get this as well as anybody. I've always said and will continue to say, Olivia, I don't care what individual gets the job done as long as the job gets done. So I don't care if somebody's black, white, pink with white polka dots, young, old, male, female, gay. I don't care. I really don't care, Olivia, as long as at the end of the day, the job is done. And by the way, I will transfer that right back over to politics. As long as my conservative principles and values are being paid attention to, and that is being driven forward, which, by the way, is what I want as a voter, I really don't care what the candidate looks like.
Absolutely. And I think you feel like most Republicans feel, and how everyone should feel in this country. And we've talked about this before, that this isn't about electing women for the sake of electing women or electing women for the sake of diversity. In every single one of these districts, the person who won was the best fit for that district. Voters knew that. It's why we backed and endorsed and supported them. But when it happens to be a woman, we want to make sure that she's got the resources that it takes to go toe-to-toe with her peers on the left, who we know have tons of funding, tons of support, and we want to make sure that our good candidates have a fighting chance.
Well said. I don't know how to relate these two together, but there is a news story, which this is the opposite of what we're talking about in the part of this I don't like. The NFL is touting this first all-black officiating crew that's going to work the Buccaneers-Rams Monday Night Football game. And I believe that's next Monday night because this article just came out. Now, Olivia, again, I don't really care who's on the field officiating and or who our politicians are and what they look like. But I also don't like the opposite, which is basically putting out somebody's race or gender or age as the main thing that we should be looking at rather than their talent and what they can actually do in that particular job. I look at, for example, in this case, with the NFL, if it was touted as, well, it's an all-white officiating crew, it's an all-Hispanic officiating crew, or it's an all-female officiating crew, at the end of the day, Olivia, I don't really care, and I don't think it's fair to tout it that way.
Yeah, I'm actually not familiar with this story, unsurprisingly. Not a sports person. But, yeah, to your point, again, I think at the end of the day, what matters most is qualifications and making sure that everyone who... When people get a job or get elected, it's based off of qualifications. And
right.
I'm all for diversity, obviously, given the fact that I work for a Republican women's group. But again, just making sure that we prioritize that the person who is getting elected and running for office or fill in the blank position is qualified to do it. That's what matters.
And thank you. Yes, and I'm not a huge sports person either. I just happened to look at that story, and I just thought to myself, you know, if the opposite were happening, everybody would have a fit. And this is where I'm going to kind of dovetail this back into politics and what's happening in your world. I think at times the left will purposely run a particular individual in a race thinking that that's going to be a better candidate in that particular situation. And by the way, I think that's happening with our vice, you know, potentially, we don't know how the election's going to turn out, but our potential VP-elect Harris, I think that's exactly what the left did in that particular case. They didn't pick the most able-bodied individual to stick into that position, Olivia. What they did was they took the person they thought fit best race-wise and even gender-wise more so than anything else, which, by the way, I don't agree with.
Yeah, and again, I think qualification is everything. I also think, you know, that being a woman doesn't exempt you from criticism or having a fair fight. The standard needs to be the same across the board for men and women. No kiddie gloves when we're talking about
well
women
said.
Candidates here.
Well said.
And, you know, so we'll see how it all kind of plays out. But again, qualification should be number one.
Well, and I think, by the way, I think that's the difference between what you all are doing at Winning for Women versus what's maybe happened in the past and or even currently happens at times is we put, even as Republicans, as conservatives, we'll put somebody in a particular race because they fit the quote-unquote profile of what we might need for that race. But then we don't make sure they have the proper qualifications that can go toe-to-toe with their opponent. You, on the other hand, are doing both. You're making sure that, yes, we do have, maybe there's a niche here. Maybe we could put a female candidate in this particular, you know, race or this particular section of the country and know that that particular individual will have a higher, have a higher acceptance of said voters from both sides in that particular race. That's all fine and dandy, Olivia, but if they can't go toe-to-toe with the other candidate, we're going to lose.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the left sometimes is in the business of diversity for the sake of diversity. And one of the things that we've been able to see through this past election is so many of the seats that were flipped, most by Republican women, were seats won from first-term incumbents who were elected in a wave on the left, who were not doing a good job, who might have fallen into the category that you just described. And when we put forth strong candidates with strong messages, they really do have an ability to win elections, even when it means flipping a seat, taking it back from a first-term incumbent. And I do think kind of the proof is in the election results here, that quality candidates have an ability to get it done when they have the right support.
Well, I'll use an example even here in Colorado with Lauren Boebert, which we all know Lauren first time even running for that type of an office, and actually took on an incumbent here in Colorado, Tipton, in the primaries, won in the primaries, and went up against a Democrat opponent, which, by the way, was another female. But because, and this is my opinion, because Lauren could talk to the constituents in a way that they wanted to hear. She knew her demographics. She knew her constituents that she would be representing. She knew what they wanted to hear and spoke to them, and in turn won. That's what I'm talking about, Olivia. Not just because Lauren was a woman did she win, but because she could go toe-to-toe with her counterpart as well.
Absolutely. And I think, putting in the work, and all politics is local at the end of the day, and making sure you are the best advocate and for your constituents, and communicating that goes a long way.
Again, Winning for Women, for those of you out there that are listening, and some of you might even be interested in becoming a candidate at some point in time, especially some of you ladies that are out there listening, this is the place to go. Winning for Women. Just Google it. You'll find them. Winningforwomen.com. Everything is there. And Olivia, to your point, if somebody is the right fit in a particular race, you guys will, I really think this is the key here, you will give them and outfit them with the proper tools to make sure that they're ready to go toe-to-toe with that counterpart.
Absolutely. Support is everything for all candidates from start to finish. We've seen when you support women candidates, qualified women candidates, it works. It's been a record year for Republican women, and we're just hoping to build off those gains. So
Amen.
If anyone is interested, go to winningforwomen.com.
Well said. Olivia, we'll talk to you here in a couple of weeks. I do appreciate it. Maybe by then we'll have an outcome on the election. But, hey, we've gone longer in the past than we are now, so anything's possible.
Thanks for having me, and good chatting as always.
Thanks, Olivia. Appreciate it very much. Winning for Women, and we appreciate Olivia very much. And, yes, I mean that sincerely, folks, especially if you're a lady and you've thought about running for office, and there's a particular district or a particular race that you think you could enter in and be very fruitful in, you need to talk to them. They would be more than willing to talk to you, figure out if there's a good fit there. That's exactly what they do. And as conservatives, we need more of this. So Bruce Simmons is up next, folks. He is our reverse mortgage specialist, and he would love to help you with learning more about a reverse mortgage. How does it work? Or is it a good fit for you? What are all the ins and outs of it? That's what Bruce does. Call him today at 303-467-7821 or klzradio.com.
You don't need it now, but you will need it someday. You're still working, and you're not planning on retiring immediately, but you'd like to have cash available for your future. A reverse mortgage line of credit allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into tax-free, liquid money available to you at any time, and you don't need to use it right away. KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, has been hearing from homeowners 62 years and older who haven't retired yet, but who would like to get a reverse mortgage now while interest rates are still so low. Bruce can help you maximize the amount of money available to you, setting up a line of credit that will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. Don't wait until you retire. Plan ahead now so you know you have the money when you need it. Set up a free consultation with Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Folks, if you're involved in any kind of a collision, number one, you need Kevin Flesh to represent you to make sure you've got back or coming back to you what you deserve. On top of that, though, you need to go to a good shop to get your car fixed. Yes, you can go to a good shop. You can actually go to any shop you want. The insurance company will tell you otherwise, but at the end of the day, you are in control of who fixes your vehicle, and we highly recommend a good shop. Three locations, two in Northgren, one in Commerce City, worth the drive even if you're down south and have a collision. They will be happy to take care of you. Find them at klzradio.com or call 720-541-7697.
All you're looking for is a good shop. You've already been through the extremely unpleasant experience of a collision. Now you're dreading the process of repairing the damage to your vehicle. You just want someone professional and polite who will answer your phone calls and tell you what's going on. It doesn't seem like too much to ask, but somehow it's so hard to find. Well, we at KLZ found a good shop. Al Sturm and his team explain all of the costs, so you know what you're paying for, They help you with your insurance claim. They handle all of your auto body work in-house, so you get your vehicle back faster. And a real person answers the phone every time. Best of all, they'll get your vehicle looking great back to pre-loss condition. Al and his team run a good shop. And that's exactly what you're looking for. Find them now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And that last story I was talking to Olivia about with the NFL, Charlie mentioned it to me the other day, so I did some looking up of that. And yes, the NFL's first all-black officiating crew will work the Buccaneers-Rams Monday Night Football game. And folks, please don't take this the wrong way. I don't care. I don't care if they're pink with white polka dots. Can they officiate properly, get the job done at the end of the day, and handle the game like they need to? And by the way, make sure they're not a part of the winning and losing of the game. That's what officials are supposed to do. Keep things fair. Make sure they call penalties as needed. Make sure that they run the game like they're supposed to. And basically be the directors of the game throughout. That's what they're supposed to do. If they do anything outside of that, they're a rotten official. And by the way, I don't care whether they're black, white, or an alien. I don't care who does it. I think the fact that the NFL is touting this in some way and basically, you know, staking claim to this, frankly, it's ludicrous. I, for one, have hardly watched. I don't know that I've watched. Well, I haven't. I have not watched an entire NFL game this entire season, nor do I think I will. Not boycotting them. They've lost my interest this year. The nonsense with COVID, no people in the stands, all of their pandering they did at the beginning of the year to BLM, they frankly lost me. I don't know if they've lost everybody else. I'd have to get Richard on and find out what their ratings are like. But frankly, they lost me a long time ago. To the point where I'm not sure I'll be back. I don't know if I care. All of their, I'll just call it what it is, nonsense that they've done, and they're kowtowing to all of the, you know, officials that are out there. It's frankly ridiculous. I am so tired. I watched 10 minutes of a game the other night. I don't even remember who was playing now. And they've got these stupid things in the stands that sort of make it look like there's people there, but they're not there. And there's advertisements, and they pipe in sound to make it sound like there's a crowd there. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It's just lunacy. This whole COVID thing has turned everybody, well, not everybody, but the majority of people into raging lunatics. We have finally let the Kevins and Karens of the world take over. I, for one, am pushing back. I hope those of you listening will do the same. What I mean by pushing back is I'm going to support businesses that stay open. I will do everything possible to make sure they stay open. I want them back open as quickly as possible. And this nonsense of shutting things down, which is exactly what it is utter nonsense. We haven't proven yet that it does any good. In fact, the proof shows it doesn't help. We've gone from 2 weeks to slow the spread to where 8 months later we're now shutting down for the second time. Tell me how the first one helped and that shutdown saved lives, and I might be more willing to jump in on this one, but the reality is it didn't, and this one won't either. Again, folks, what lives are we going to save? We're, as a state, we're down to 10, 12 deaths a day anyways. How much lower can it go? Are we looking for zero? Is that when we finally stop all this nonsense? Is when we finally have zero cases, zero deaths? Folks, if that's what we're looking for, we're going to be wearing a mask until I go to the grave. I'm 56. And I mean what I just said. If we're looking for zero, We're never going to get there. It's unattainable. COVID is now in our society. It's around the world. It's like the flu. We're going to deal with it now from this point forward. Vaccine or not, we're going to deal with it. Get that through your heads. Those of you on the left, especially, you Kevins and Karens that are out there. COVID is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It will not be eradicated. The Chinese put this on us. Blame them if you want to blame someone. It's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. How we respond to it is what's going to make a difference. And as long as we've got Kevin Polis's running around, we're screwed. Literally. Sorry for the language, folks, but we are. We're screwed with Kevin Polis in charge. If you want to be free, you're going to have to move to Florida or go someplace where they understand how to do this correctly, because we don't do it correctly here. We would rather have lunacy in Colorado than common sense. Franktown Firearms is coming up next. Speaking of common sense, own a gun. Exercise your Second Amendment right. Know how to shoot it. Know how to have the proper ammunition in it. Which there's two kinds, by the way. There's self-defense ammunition and there's target practice ammunition. No, they're not one and the same. Franktown can explain all of what I just said. Call him today at 720-770-7777 or find him at klzradio.com.
Buying a gun alone doesn't make you safe. Recently, the team at Franktown Firearms has been working with a lot of beginners who just want to feel safe. Widows living alone who need to protect themselves. People with arthritis in their hands who may struggle to load or rack a handgun, depending on the model. Anyone can learn defensive shooting skills, and buying a gun is a great first step. But you need to know how to use it confidently. The team at Franktown Firearms encourages everyone to try out different guns on the range before purchasing. Right now, mention KLZ to receive a free hour on the range when you purchase a new firearm. Once you've purchased your firearm, the team at Franktown advises you to sign up for one of their basic training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can become completely comfortable with that particular gun. Free gun rentals are included with private training lessons. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown now. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. The 737 MAX, by the way, is now able to fly again, although there's no one really willing to fly on it because we've killed the airline industry with COVID and shut down. So that's a whole nother conversation we might have here in the 5 o'clock hour. But yep, the 737 MAX is now clear to fly once again. We'll be back though. Hour number three is next. Scott Garlis is going to join us. He's been with us before. He is the editor of Stansberry Newswire. He'll join us at the top of the hour, so don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.